Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Got a great show for you today. Buck Showalter will be joining us at 5:30 today, right after WAG Wednesday at 5 o'clock with Chelsea Barnes, the wife of Red Sox pitcher Matt Barnes. So it's going to be a great afternoon as we get into it today. And, of course, the New York Yankees. I mean, what else are you going to say? They're just a dominant team. They get it from everywhere. And now the big story is Aaron Judge and what do you do? To me, it's very simple. Nothing. I don't offer Aaron Judge another nickel. I don't offer him another year. I don't even return his agent's phone call. I leave it alone because if this is what it takes for that guy to have a second career year, good. Why would I want to F that up? Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today,
Ken? Did you hear our open?
I did, yes.
Yes. In that open.
I said the same thing. Did I not?
No.
I said you signed that deal, you son of a gun.
Basically what you said is every Yankee fan is saying, how could you not sign this deal?
On the Aaron Judge side, right?
You got some balls, Judge.
Yes. You got some balls,
you got
Judge.
Well, here's the beautiful thing, Yankee fans. He does have some balls.
Yeah, good.
He's got really, really big you-know-what.
Cleones.
And he's backing it up. And that is music to your ears because this was always, Craig, a win-win. It was always a win-win. If you sign Aaron Judge, great. You've got him signed long-term. If you can't work a deal out, then you basically say, go have another career season. And then, yeah, it's going to cost us more. But if you give us another career season and win an MVP, we got a really good chance to win this division. We have a really good chance to win a championship.
Sure.
And you're getting that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Listen, I think this has worked out perfectly. I mean, this couldn't be any better for the Yankee organization or for you and I as Yankee fans. Like, and again, I don't know that he's extra motivated. He's a really good baseball player. Always has been when he's healthy, right? So, to me, I hear all the other talk shows talking about, you got to sign him now. You got to offer him more money. No! This is working out perfectly!
There are a lot of guys that don't have career seasons and contract years. Aroldis Chapman's in a contract year.
Yeah.
Michael Conforto last year was in a contract year, but Edwin Diaz is in a contract year.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is in a contract year.
And guess what? They're all going to get paid a lot of money.
And if they get paid, if Aaron Judge gets paid a much bigger contract than what the Yankees offered a month and a half ago, but you keep him, then who the hell cares?
Right. I agree 100%.
Then like, it was all worth it.
Yep. I would not. I'm not even kidding. Like, he's had thus far, it's, you know, just under 40 games, a great start. To this season, a great start to the season. Never mind him complaining about the dimensions of Camden Yards. Like, come on, dude. Like, you've had the benefit of a short porch your whole career. How about you zip your lip about the dimensions of a ballpark?
Hold on.
That would have been out last year.
Let me,
what are we doing?
I have to defend Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge, who, by the way, referred to Camden Yards with the exact same quote. They referred to build a ballpark
or something.
So they must have talked about this offline.
Yeah.
But the only reason why I have no problem with the Yankees complaining, commenting on the new Oriole Park is it is so effing different. Like, Camden Yards has been around forever. We've all grown used to it.
You always told me that's the beauty of baseball.
No, it is. But they're commenting on something that's new.
Yeah, but
when someone talks about Yankee Stadium,
right.
My response is, dude, this ballpark's been around for 13 years.
Right.
This is old news. But this is still like their fifth game at Oriole Park.
To be fair, everybody reacted to the comments a week ago about playing in a
completely different
minor league ball,
Little League ballpark. It's different, dude.
On the Gleyber Torres home run.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
It's different.
You got a double.
This is a fun.
Well, no.
Aaron Judge said the exact same thing I thought when I'm watching this game, that John Sterling thought when he was watching
and
this game.
And the guy that does that website said it's a home run in 29 out of 30 ballparks.
No, it's a home run at Oriole Park until this year. Like, we've watched thousands of games in this bandbox of a stadium.
Yeah.
And I like what they've done with it, by the way. I love that they've done it, but I can understand why a player who's played there a bunch makes a comment when... for every other year, that's an easy home run.
I mean, Citi Field's changed its dimensions to benefit David Wright. You know, he was pissed off that it cost him a bunch of home runs. The Orioles changed their dimensions. Dude, you're having a great year. Let's just keep the good mojo going and keep hitting home runs and doubles and extra base hits and play good defensively. But to get back to our original premise here, which we are clearly in lockstep on, do not offer Aaron Judge a bigger contract. Do not. He said, his agent's decision, we're not talking during the season. You got it, buddy. Because I want this to continue.
Well, also, like, I think Aaron Judge is going to have a monster season. I think this is going to continue. He's on pace to hit 63 home runs. I don't think he's going to hit 63 home runs. But can Aaron Judge possibly match his rookie season where he went for 52 with an OPS over 1,000? Sure, it's possible. You don't know if things are going to change, though. So why would you all of a sudden, in the middle of a season, say, okay, I changed my mind. Here's
right.
$300 million.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So you sit back, you relax, and you enjoy this. You enjoy everything about this. Not just Aaron Judge having a monster MVP season, but Michael King making you think of Mariano Rivera circa 1996. Enjoy all of it, dude.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't enjoy, it's funny, apropos of our conversation yesterday, and I know he hasn't blown a save yet. You know, his one really bad performance was in a 2-2 game when he came in a couple nights ago.
You also got pulled before he blew a save?
Yeah, that's fair.
In fairness?
Chapman has not been great. And right now, you know, we've survived it. Hasn't blown a save, to be fair. You know, leaves the game yesterday. The couple men on base gets the final out on the foul ball pop-up. But boy, it is fun. When the New York Yankees are rocking and rolling, it's like when the Knicks are really good. I think I remember those days.
Yeah.
As long ago as they
do you
may
remember?
Have been. Yeah.
Sorry about that lottery last night,
by the
way.
It's quite all right.
My bad.
It's just different, man. It's different. When the New York Yankees are not even debatably the best team in baseball, it's different.
Yeah, well, it's also different.
Awesome.
It's also different that we are still 3 weeks removed from you, amongst others, calling them a boring team, a broken team. Cashman's got to go. So this is still fresh and new how in love you are with the New York Yankees.
Well, if you're a diehard Yankee fan, I want to hear your take on Judge. I hope you agree with me and Evan. You cannot extend him now. You can't offer him a nickel more. And I don't care what John Heyman writes in the paper today, that the Yankees are willing to give him more and always were. We knew that. The Yankees made an initial offer. It was rejected. And then the season started. And Aaron Judge decided, very publicly, I'm not going to do this during the season. I'm willing to, quote unquote, bet on myself.
There is one thing, this one caveat that makes this situation a little different. And that's the fact that they have not agreed on how much he's making this season. The Yankees set a number, Aaron Judge set a number, and there's an arbitration hearing scheduled for the middle of June.
Yeah, $17 million or $21
million. Right, so because there's that debate on this year's salary, that does lead to conversations about this season, because a lot of guys settle before they get to arbitration.
Right. Which they're allowed to do if they say, let's just call it 19 and call it a day,
so
they can do that.
As you're talking about this year, it could lead to discussions about next year and beyond, but overall, I agree. Let this season play out. There's a window before free agency starts. It's when the Mets re-signed Mike Piazza before he ever got to free agency, where you've got a chance to make a deal. And if it gets to free agency and everybody's able to bid on him, then the New York Yankees just have to remind you that they're the New York effing Yankees and they don't let Aaron Judge walk away.
Right.
Period.
There's no risk here, the way I see it. No risk at all. And I'm loving it. And good for Aaron Judge. You know, a lot of times guys say they're going to do it and they don't perform on the field, and it does cost them money. This guy's been money good this year, and I think it's great. But to the notion of, hey, let's panic and quickly offer him $500 million, I wouldn't offer him a nickel. I really wouldn't. I would respect the fact that he doesn't want to talk till after the year, and I'll cross my fingers he stays healthy and he keeps killing the baseball.
How much money will he get, though, if he goes 55-130?
He'll get 300 mil.
I mean, he may.
He'll get 300 mil.
It's the greatest bet on yourself moment we've ever seen.
Or, and by the way, maybe he doesn't get 300 million. 7 years, 40 per, that's 280.
Like, it's all about what other teams are out there willing to pay him. You need a market, and that's, you know, to be determined.
But listen, he's going to get more than the 240, I think, was the offer of that, if I remember correctly.
Right.
He's going to get more than that, but how much more? Listen, once you're making $250 million over any amount of time, it's just the ego. It's nothing else. It's not life-changing money. It doesn't change how many boats you have or cars you have or houses you can buy or private jets you can fly in. It's more about ego and more about, where do I stand in relation to my peers financially?
Yeah, you look across town and you look at Francisco Lindor's contract and you say, no, I'm getting paid more. I'm sorry.
Right.
But the thing you have to love if you're a Yankee fan, and this is why I was confident he was going to have a good year this year, is he's never given us a sign that he can't handle New York. He's never shown that to us.
He's been great since his rookie year.
Since his rookie season with all the pressure that was on him. And I think that this performance, even through a month and a half, even though we're only in the middle of May, is another example that if there is a guy built for New York, it's Aaron Judge. We talked about this a month ago. You brought up, we're going to start booing Aaron Judge. He's only hit. He hasn't hit a home run yet. And I'm not mocking you in this. I'm just saying that that was the kind of criticism he was facing from Yankee fans.
Yeah.
2 weeks into the season, oh, we're going to boo him. You turned down all that money.
By the way, he got booed the first week and a half of the season.
And how's he responded?
Let's not forget.
And how's
we booed him.
And how's he responded?
He's responded with, okay, you're right. I need to be better. And he has been better. Yeah. And you got to respect that. He recognized he wasn't performing.
Aaron Judge is built for this town. He has shown that since the moment he's gotten here. And that is why it would be just ridiculous for the New York Yankees to ever let him walk out that door. And they won't. It may get dicey. It may get Bernie-like. Remember Bernie Williams? He's about to sign with the Red Sox. We may have a lot of anxious moments, or you may have a lot of anxious moments. But at the end of the day, there is no way they're going to let this guy leave.
No, and I wouldn't give him any money now because you know exactly what would happen. If they gave him $300 million now, whatever the number turns out to be, and he goes through a two-week slump, it would not be pretty for anybody, right? So anyway, good job, Yanks. They have Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight. Even with Gerrit Cole on the mound, they're probably going to win. That brings them to 28-9.
What the hell kind of comment was that?
How about this?
He's 3-0 with a 2.95 ERA.
How about
time for your comeuppance? You can't get to just throw shade at Gerrit Cole have it be unchallenged.
Yes.
So I'm going to challenge you. He's 3-0 with a 2.95 ERA.
He's pitched a lot better the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've acknowledged that.
Okay.
I've acknowledged
it. Why are you saying they will win despite having Gerrit Cole on the mound?
No, because Gerrit Cole is, you know, here.
Spit it out.
He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Gerrit Cole's pitching very well.
Lately. Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Albeit against minor leaguers.
I mean, look,
he is pitching very well lately.
He's not Max Scherzer, who also goes tonight, but he's pitched very well over the last few
starts. Yeah, he has pitched well, and I assume they win. So the Yankees have a chance to do something that, I don't know, historically, I'm sure it's been done a couple times, but it's not been done a lot.
What's that?
And that is, be 20 games over 500 with less than 40 games played.
Yeah.
They can be 29-9 if they win their next two, right? That would put them, 20 games over 500 with less than 40 games played.
You know,
that is stupid.
You know you're off to a good start when every comparison made goes back to in my money, the greatest sports team I've ever seen. And that's the 1998 New York Yankees.
Yes.
Who started 31-9. That's what that team did. And the other thing to keep in mind, and this may not matter to you at all, but I want to point it out. We as Met fans have seen collapses before. Red Sox fans have seen collapses before. Outside of 2015, where the Yankees had a six-game lead in August and then played 500 ball the rest of the way and won a wild card but didn't win the division. When the Yankees get to a seven-game lead, they win the division throughout their history.
So they're not going to play a meaningful game again until October.
I didn't say that.
I mean, that's our reality right now.
I didn't say that.
And let's embrace that because it makes all of us happy.
Did not say that.
Later today, you know, you got the Rangers game on tonight. And, of course, we have WAG Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Chelsea Barnes joins us. And then at 5:30, apropos of coming in right after WAG Wednesday, we have the New York Met manager, Buck Showalter, stopping by to say hi. And we look forward to talking to Buck because yesterday something happened before the second game between the Mets and the Cardinals that was just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting.
What, me driving over there?
No, and unacceptable.
Oh.
No, you went over there. Oh, yeah, you did go in between the two games.
Yeah.
Right. And did you stay for the game or no?
Of course I did.
Because your dad was there, right?
I had this plan to leave and DVR the game. I was going to go pick up something. And then I got there and I went. And I'm going tonight, too.
Because Scherzer's pitching, right?
Damn right.
And you have an agreement at home. I don't miss a Max Scherzer home start.
Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom home starts. But Jake's made this easy this year.
Yes, he has.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Very happy to have with us today our WAG for the day, Chelsea Barnes. Chelsea, Craig, and Evan on The Fan, how you doing today?
Good. How's it going?
Doing great. Doing great. Chelsea is the wife of Red Sox pitcher and UConn grad Matt Barnes.
Longtime Red Sox pitcher. He's been there forever now.
But he's an old guy?
Well,
how old is Matt, Chels?
He's getting old. No, he'll be 32 this June, so he's like one of the oldest there now.
Let me ask you this. Have you contemplated that because of his chosen profession, you know, he's going to be done working, quote-unquote, at a very young age? That's what pro athletes go through. That you are at a very young age, let's even say 40, make it up, right? That at 40 years old, he's going to be around a lot.
Yep.
Right? How have you processed that mentally and emotionally?
He's like, he can't sit still. So even now, like in the off seasons, he loves like home projects and trying to get into real estate and stock market and trading and all that stuff. So I think he'll keep himself busy. And if not, then then he will find something to do because I will be busy.
Yeah, he's going to be a pain in your ass. There's going to be like a two-month period where it's awesome. You're newlyweds again, and you have all this amazing time together, which you don't get because of his profession and traveling. And then about 2 months in, you guys are going to look at each other and say, all right, you need to find something to do.
It's like every off-season. It's like I don't see him pretty much consistently at all for 8 months, and then he comes home in October, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're all up in my space. Kind of a dynamic without you.
We'll get to the whole history of you guys in a second, but there's something low-hanging fruit I have to ask you about. Yes. Everyone has now seen, it's gone viral, the horrendous first pitch that Steve Aoki, the famous DJ, attempted to make at the game at Fenway Park a couple days ago. And what I found out about that after the fact is that your husband gave him advice on how to throw a good pitch.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
What the hell did he tell him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I just saw a video of it, and, Aoki was like, I don't know if I can make it all the way to home plate. And Matt's like, let it eat, throw it as hard as you can. And then Matt was, supposed to be the one catching it and really didn't stand much of a chance there because I think it went into the third upper level section.
Throw it as hard as you can.
I think he beamed a 9-year-old in the fourth row, something like that. Yeah.
He was like, you made it to home plate. You made it past home plate. So that was successful.
So how does a girl growing up down the Jersey Shore, or in New Jersey at least, meet a guy that's on his way to becoming a professional baseball player? What's the background?
Yeah, so I grew up, born and raised in Jersey and North Jersey, and then I went to UConn for college, for undergrad, and I met Matt there back when he was, baby face, no beard, one earring, shaved head. I think it was 2012.
And was he like a stereotypical like frat guy, college athlete, big man on campus, or did he show a very early sensitive side?
His teammates were more like that. Matt's a little shy and quiet, and he was, friend zoned by me, which everyone jokes, for maybe 6 years before I started dating.
Wow. Why'd you friend zone? What made you friend zone him?
We just were good friends for so long initially, and then friends for years and years and years, and then it was like all of a sudden I'm like, Matt doesn't look at me like just a friend anymore.
So I always wonder about that. Listen, the first time anyone hooks up, there's an awkwardness to it, right? It's just the nature of, kissing or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But when you guys are friends for so long, I imagine it's even more awkward, right?
Yeah, nothing a few drinks can help.
Exactly. That's why they invented edibles in my world. But I'm with you. I'm with you. Good. So, but that must have been kind of strange at first. Like, we're friends, and now we're dating.
Yeah. Cool thing is that all of our friends are friends, so our friend group is the same friend group. And so, us for wedding planning made everything a lot easier. It was like, okay, UConn couples, everyone just is all the same here.
Where was he in his journey in baseball when you decided to get him out of the friend zone?
So, I'm trying to think. I met him... he got drafted in 2011, and I think I met him in 2012, right after he got drafted. He came back to UConn and tried to, maybe still get some classes in, and then that didn't really go so well. So he just couldn't commit to it with baseball.
As a Jersey girl, did you hate the Red Sox?
So I didn't love them, that's for sure.
I hated them.
I did grow up a Yankee fan, so I'm sure, not a bunch of Red Sox fans listening now. Grew up a Yankee fan, and now, as I joke, that I converted to the dark side, and I've been here for a while now, so it's not so bad over here.
Let me mention, Chelsea's a doctor of physical therapy, has her own PT business that she started just after the pandemic, and there's a great story that I was told that you grew up on the water, as a lot of Jersey guys do, the shore's right there, that you decided once to take Matt on a jet ski and scared him half to death. What happened?
Yeah, that's a great story. I grew up on a lake, took him to my hometown. We went out, I think it was all-star break, on a jet ski, and it was my friend's jet ski, which was a one-person jet ski, which I think the weight limit is about 200 pounds, which is less than Matt's, and we both were on it. And took him out, and he was like, "You better not flip me. I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie there." And I was like, I won't." And I truly wasn't trying to. And then, of course, we flipped because we were a little too top heavy. And then the funniest part was that I really couldn't get him back on. So every time we tried to get back on the jet ski, we would jump up, and then, you know, he couldn't get on it because he weighed too much. So every time he'd jump on it, the whole thing would flip. And I was like throwing all my body weight over the front. I'm like, "Jump on the back." And as soon as he put his weight on it, like, you know, you're floating in water. Yeah. It's not like you can get your feet grounded. He would push up into it, and then all of a sudden I would flip over the front, the whole thing would flip upside down. And I'm like, "Okay, I have to leave you here. I'm going to come back on the boat." And he was like, "You can't leave me here, like in the middle of the lake." And I was like, "You'll be okay. Just flail your arms. You got really long legs and limbs. You'll be all right." And then we picked him up on the boat. And
so you
I
did.
Had not
so
been on a jet ski with him
since. You left him in the middle of the lake.
You know, he wasn't all that far. He wasn't too far. I could still see him. It was a no-wake zone. He was
That's
be
funny.
All right.
That's funny. Talking to Chelsea Barnes for Wag Wednesday. She's married to Matt Barnes, Red Sox pitcher. Was he on the World Series team in 18 or no? Do I have that right?
Yep. Yes.
What is that experience like for the spouse of a guy going through that? What was that like for you?
Crazy. Just, you know, October was, even when I was working full time, October was basically the month where my boss was like, "Sorry." I'm like, I'm just out of office. If they lose, I'll be here. If not, I'm going to travel. And a lot of traveling, a lot of, you know, it's basically if they win, you go somewhere else. If they lose, you go home. And it's a lot of like just on the fly back and forth. I think, you know, we went back and forth to Houston, back and forth to L.A. And then when they won in L.A., it was just surreal.
So now, you go to every game or just like a potential clinching game on the road?
So during October, I think most wives, including myself, I do try to go to like almost every game, especially, you know, this past, it was like, okay, wild card game, you never know, and then another series. During the season, I definitely don't go to as many, but
Not speaking for him, for you. Are you done with Boston? Are you ready? I mean, it's been 9 years. The Red Sox are going to – the Red Sox stink this year, and they're not turning it around. I think everybody realizes that. And look, teams need bullpen help. The Mets need bullpen help. Are you ready for Matt to be traded elsewhere, for you to get another experience outside of Boston?
You know, it's so funny. Like, it's such a comfort level because, like, he's just never left. And it was scary – not scary, but when he was about to be free agent, I'm like, oh, my God, there's so many teams out there. And I was like, the only thing that would be more convenient for us living in Connecticut is that if you went to play for the Yankees or Mets, because they're so close to home, like I could pretty much live home and just go, you know, not have to drive about 2 or so hours. So
not just that, your family would be so happy. Like put on the pinstripes in the Bronx. Like your family would be like, "We finally got our daughter back."
Did they all Yankee fans?
Even still, even like a lot of our Connecticut friends. Family and friends are big Yankee fans because we're like Southern Connecticut, so it's a lot. It's a really Yankee territory, and they still all, you know, they'll all come to the game. I always go to like any series against the Yankees because again, it's so close to home. But all of our family friends are like, they're like, "All right, I'm not wearing a Red Sox jersey, but I won't wear a Yankee jersey, so I'm just gonna wear black and take that as a compliment that I'm not rocking."
Yeah, but when he's
here, but I won't yet wear Red Sox.
When he's pitching in the ALDS against the Yankees in 2018, rooting for the Yankees, right? They're saying, "Yeah, we like him, but give up a 3-run bomb right now, please," right?
So that I think our true friends are like, "Listen, we still want the Red Sox." Like our true friends that are Yankee fans are like, "We still don't want to see the Red Sox win, but we want Matt to give up no runs. We'll have like one inning of no hits, and then, you know, and then after that." And I'm like, "All right, you know, I'll take that. As long as you're not, just let him have one clean inning, and then whatever happens is out of my power."
Yeah, there's that strange conflict. Talking to Chelsea Barnes for another minute or two here for Wag Wednesday. I want to get to Uncork for a Cause here in a second, but I wonder when he's now a professional, right, and you're not married yet, I wonder, like, do other guys hit on you, like, slide into your DMs? Is there, like, this, like, back door? "Yeah, I know he's dating her, but I think she's really pretty. I'm going to take a shot and see if she's interested." Like, how much of that do you and women like yourself deal with?
You know, social media is a wild place. That's why I just don't have a Twitter, but I do have Instagram and I do get some stuff like that. Probably not so much anymore, but that exists pretty much everywhere.
Post
one dating suit picture and forget it now.
That's so weird. Like, you didn't ask to be a public figure. You married a guy that became a public figure, And yet you want to have your social media for your friends and your family. But you're right. Like, are there times in your life, maybe not as much now, where you were going to post something on social media, Instagram, whatever it may be, where you had to say, wait a minute, if I post this, you know, vacation shot, I'm laying on a boat or whatever it may be, I'm going to have to deal with, you know, a-holes or jackasses, A, commenting on it, or B, trying to, you know, ask me out. You had to deal with that, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And you have to just, especially knowing that, like, you could be in a public eye, you know, in quotes, of anything that you post if you're public and it's match tagged in it or whatever, that people just see it, then, you know, people love
that. That's why I don't wear a banana hammock anymore, because I started working with Evan. And I'm like, Evan and I are just hanging out, you know, in Speedos. You know, now I got to worry about, you know, have I groomed? All right, walk me through. You and Matt decided to start a charity called Uncork for a Cause. And I know, obviously, it makes sense that it happens in Boston. It'll be this summer, July 24th. Walk me through what you guys do and who benefits from it.
Yeah, so we just partnered with Uncork for a Cause. So that's already a foundation. And we've actually been trying to do this for 3 years. It got canceled with 2020, 2021, and this will be the third, so 2022. Hopefully it's a success. We couldn't have it last year because there were still, you know, restrictions with COVID. So it is essentially a wine event, and there, you know, ticket sales. There's a silent auction. There's a live auction for, like, a trip to Napa, and you get to really choose a fundraiser of your choice, and Matt and I have chose to sponsor the Home Base program. And it's a Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital program. And basically it's dedicated to healing, like, invisible wounds for veterans and their families.
So, like, PTSD and that mental health type stuff for guys and gals that come back from battle or just, you know, whoever. Yeah.
Yeah. So PTSD, TBI, anxiety, depression, et cetera. And it's a lot of just, like, therapy, family services for any military, like, issue, really. And then they, you know, don't have to pay for anything, and they get a lot of these services. It's a really, really awesome fundraiser. I do a run every summer for it in Boston, and we've met a lot of the veterans and met a lot of the clinicians that work for the program, and it's a really awesome, awesome foundation. So we're
do you guys
to
have, is there any family connection to the military?
Yeah, so for Matt's family, especially his, you know, his uncle, his cousin is and her husband are currently in the Air Force. So it's a soft spot for us, for sure.
Yeah, I will say this. You know, I got involved in a couple foundations that do similar work, and it's amazing how a lot of the men and women that you wear the flag on their chest and on their arm, you know, and go over to these, sometimes godforsaken places, come back and they're forgotten about. And they come back, they may not have physical wounds and scars, but, you know, the mental ones, the emotional ones are very real. And until you meet them and you hear their stories, you can't properly appreciate, you know, what they're going through. Because for them, it's very, very real. I imagine you have the same experience.
Yeah. And we, like I said, we've done some events for this foundation and met a lot of these, you know, vets who are going through this. And they just talk about they get years and years of the most intense training that our country offers to become a certain way mentally to handle this, and then they just basically get, you know, sent home, and then they're just expected to go back to normal society, and it's definitely tough. So having resources available for them that they don't have to pay for, that they, you know, shouldn't have to pay for, in my opinion, is really nice. So.
Well, I think it's great you guys do that. Before we let you go, how did he propose to you? Was it cool and clever, or was it not?
Yeah, it was awesome. So we just bought our house in Connecticut, our kind of a forever home that we were looking at for months. And we were just walking on the front porch, and, you know, he just totally unexpected. I had no clue, shockingly, because I feel like I know everything. Went down on one knee, and I'm like, oh my God, thinking it's just me and him. And I obviously say yes. I guess he was pretty confident I was going to, because then the door slams open and my whole family was there. Like, there was like 50 people in the house, and it was my mom who lied to me. I thought she was in New Jersey. All my aunts, uncles, cousins, like all of our best UConn friends, and everyone's there with like champagne and confetti. And I'm like, oh my God, you see the house. Here's the house. And I'm engaged. And I didn't even have to call a single person, because every single person that we cared about was right there.
Thank God you said yes.
So, oh my God.
Like, like, looking back on it, just the prank of me, you should have said, let me think about it for a little bit.
Yeah, thank God. He was confident, I guess. So,
Chelsea, it's a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. Open door. Sure. If you ever want to come by when you guys are in New York playing the Yanks, we'd love to have you stop by and say hi. And congrats on the foundation and doing all that work for the veterans. And we appreciate you coming on today. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. Chelsea Barnes, everybody. She and her husband, Matt Barnes. And that's another successful Wag Wednesday, Evan, is it not?
Indeed.
See, people, I think some people have a misconception as to what Wag Wednesday really is.
What misconception is that, you think?
I think some people think, like, we're bringing, and I apologize for the term, like a bimbos. And we really don't. Like, we've met some amazingly
classy women.
Yeah, classy, professional,
with beautiful,
successful women.
With beautiful love stories.
Who just happened to be attractive?
Yeah.
That's all. That's all it is.
Just a coincidence.
But there you go.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Carton and Roberts on The Fan, happy to have back on the show the manager of the New York Mets, Buck Showalter. Buck, Craig, and Evan here in New York on The Fan. How you doing, pal?
Good. How are you guys today?
Doing very well.
Excellent.
Appreciate your time, as always. Obviously, a tough split yesterday. Your thoughts on the postgame comments of Francisco Lindor starting to get a little heat from the Met fan base. What do you think overall about what's going on with him?
I don't know. What did he say? I don't listen to that stuff. What do you got?
He said the pitchers drive nice cars too.
Okay, they do.
Have you talked to him about what he went through in New York last year? Is that something you guys have ever talked about, whether in spring training or even recently?
You know, I don't really broadcast the private conversations I have with the players, but certainly Francisco and I have been talking since the spring. It's funny, when he first came in, you know, some things that, you know, you think you know something from afar, but until you actually get there and experience, you need to keep an open mind about reality. There's a lot of things that I've had, you know, since I've got here that I can went, okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Now I see some of the challenges that Louis had or whatever, for whatever reason. So, you know, you keep an open mind about that and realize that some good people have been here before you and will come after you. So, what really struck me was Francisco told me all the things that I was going to say. He kind of stole my thunder. So he's in a good place mentally and emotionally. You know, the guy, nobody plays the game harder between the lines. Nobody cares more about winning. Nobody, he's played a good shortstop for us, especially since the weather warmed up a little bit, even though it looks like it's going to be snowing in Denver. You believe
yes.
that?
Yes, I saw that.
But, he's a good teammate. I mean, and he's done some good things for us offensively this year and will again. So, you know, we're not going to have, let's face it, a lot of the, I guess, scrutiny you're telling me is on him because, you know, there's a commitment to him by the organization, but he was committed to because he was a really good player that can help us win.
Bingo. You know, it's funny, you said something, and you didn't mean anything by it, that also got Met fans saying, whoa, 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 what's that? And it was an innocent comment. You said he'll be a contributor. And I think because of that contract, Met fans say, and I know I thought it, he better be more than a contributor. He better be Francisco Lindor. So I think a part of it are the giant expectations that attach to him because of his resume and because of the amount of money he makes.
Well, I think it's because of his skill level, and, you know, usually trust that. I don't know. It depends on how you define contributing. You know, he can contribute to a win and not get a hit. You know, I just look at things through a different prism. The tone he sets and the example he sets, and, you know, he cares. And, you know, the only guy that I get sideways with is somebody who doesn't care or play with great effort and doesn't want to win and doesn't want the Mets to be as good as they can be. And, you know, he checks all those boxes.
When do you expect Jacob DeGrom to throw from a mound?
Well, you know, I'm not a doctor. I try to stay out of that. I know a lot more than I'm obviously going to talk about here on the air, but when he's physically capable, it will move as quick as it can and without any setbacks. You know, that's why we don't put some false, you know, put a date on it, and all of a sudden if he doesn't reach it, you know, they're always asking if he's ahead, behind schedules. You know, I talked to Jake. I couldn't believe it. The other day we FaceTimed him. The trainer had him back there, and he's upbeat, moving his family this way, and he's preparing to join us. And I know everybody's looking forward to getting him back. But we have to prepare like things like that, or whether it be Trevor May or whether it be McGill, you got to prepare that they won't happen.
Right.
We assume something's going to happen. You want to make the baseball gods laugh. Tell them about your plans.
You don't strike me as a FaceTime kind of guy.
Well, actually, I walked in the training room to check on somebody else, and Brian Chicklow, our trainer, was on FaceTime with Jake, so I hopped on. I think that's what
yeah,
he called
it. I don't see Buck Showalter FaceTiming people. That's just my own.
Yeah, that's like the Twitter or whatever they do with those things where they put stuff out there publicly.
Twitter. That's close. So you don't have a Twitter account or an Instagram account? You're not posting, you know, vacation photos of you in a bathing suit on a boat? That's not your thing?
Ain't happening, buddy.
He definitely has a burner, though. You're definitely checking things out.
You know, it's funny. You've been around a long time, and I talked to Evan. Evan's very more of the nuts and bolts historian of baseball. But, you know, I always say, listen, just stack W's. Just stack wins and worry about everything else later. And I think, you know, that is proving itself out here in that, you know, the Mets have been a 500 team over the last, you know, 10, 11, 12 games or so. But because of the early success in April, you can weather that kind of ball by having, you know, a six-game lead. And I wonder, do you think we sometimes get caught up in the weeds a little too much day in and day out as opposed to looking at the bigger picture of where you view the health and direction of your team?
No, I think you look at it through the prism that you're asked to look at it through. You know, you're through the fans' eyes. You know, you ask the questions and talk about the things that fans want to know. And when I'm on the air and, you know, I've never said you guys don't ask this, don't ask that. You know, bring it on. I mean, I want you to, you know, it's like after games. It may not be particularly comfortable, but people are asking questions that the fans want to know. And, you know, I happen to use it sometimes as an avenue to get some things out there that kind of fit into why we had to do certain things. But you're also careful about telling things that hurt innocent people. You know, I've certainly, and there's many things that as a manager, your job description is to wear it. You just wear it. You know, you're not going to, you could bring in a lot of people into something that, you know, might initially make things look differently where you're concerned, but in the long run, it doesn't play. I want the players to know that, you know,
right. So let me ask you about that. Was there any conversation that you had with Pete Alonso prior to this series starting with the Cardinals, where we now famously saw him going into game two yesterday at first base, kind of give a what's up to Stubby
clap
based on what happened last month in St. Louis? Was there a conversation about how Pete was going to handle that or no?
You know, we have a lot of conversations. I talk to Pete every day, and if I did have a private conversation with Pete, I certainly wouldn't talk about it, guys. I know you respect that, but Pete, you know, Pete's not that type of guy. You know, it's not like thing where you say, I'm only going to like you if you like me type of thing. You know, we choose to go about our business a certain way as, you know, members of our organization and professional baseball, and what somebody else chooses to do is up to them. There's nothing worse than having to go out on the field and support an unjust cause. you know, and Pete usually has a very just cause, and we'll support him if there's anything that needs supporting.
Did he, do you know, because that's what got a lot of attention, that him and Stubby Clapp like fist bumped each other or waved hi to each other. Do you know if they had a private conversation at all?
They may have. I'm not aware of it. I wouldn't surprise me if Pete's that type of guy. You know, if you have a problem, if you don't like Pete Alonso, then you ain't trying.
Nah, he's a great dude. We love him. A couple of things on the health. We're talking to Buck Showalter. How much time will Tyler McGill miss? When do you expect him back in the rotation?
You know, let's get through the next couple of days where he's going to have some long toss and potential side work. We've got a date scheduled where we think he'll rejoin us. In fact, I'm looking at it 10 feet away. But until we get through these next few days, I want to be sure that we cross some bridges first.
When you, and I find this fascinating because you've got two first basemen in Dom Smith and Pete Alonso. It seems like you believe Dom Smith's a better defensive first baseman because you've used him late for defense. So on a night like tonight where Dom's the DH and Pete's the first baseman, do you almost feel like, well, if I use him late for defense, now I'm losing the DH and the pitcher's hitting. How do you kind of decide on a night like tonight, I'm going to use the guy who's good defensively, but not as good defensively as my first baseman as opposed to DH?
No, I don't have any problems. It's not brain surgery playing a National League game. I'd be very confident putting – I don't lose the DH. The DH is going in to play first base, and I've got four guys on the bench capable of pinch hitting if that spot comes around. But a lot of it has to do with where the order spot in the order is when the eighth inning ends. There's a lot of dynamics to it that change the way you look at it each night. But, you know, this is our best fit tonight for what we're trying to do against Jordan Hicks, who's a real challenge for us.
Do you feel that because Pete prefers to play first base, and I think we all respect that, and he's gotten so much better defensively first base over the years, that it's important to make sure he is out there enough and he's not just becoming more of a DH than maybe he wants to be? Is that important to you to keep him out there enough?
Well, it's important to me because Pete's our first baseman, and that's where, you know, that's what he's going to do for us. And we're trying to, we want a guy that can play 155, 160 games like the people in Atlanta and San Francisco did last year. I think people miss that about San Francisco's success last year. You talk about Longoria, and you're talking about Posey, you're talking about Crawford, and you're talking about Belt, and you keep going down the line. Same way with Atlanta, their infield played all 150 games. So everything we're doing is try to keep, you know, the management of playing time. We'd like Pete to play 155 games plus, and one way to do that is get some DH days. And Dom, we're lucky to have someone like Dom that can go over there and give him a blow now and then. You know, Pete wants to be out there every day, but he wants to be out there for the right reasons, for his teammates and for, you know, the fans too. But there'll come a time. But he's our first baseman, and there's never been any debate about that.
Talking to Buck Showalter, manager of the Mets, for a few more moments. Buck, when weather's coming in, but it's kind of unpredictable, hey, we could wait till 8:30 or 9 o'clock to start a game. Hey, you know, we want to do right by the fans and, you know, cancel the game before they get on the road. What's your preference? Would you rather start a game at 9 o'clock and play it, or do what you guys did yesterday and do the, you know, the doubleheader?
Anytime we stay away from the doubleheader, I'm in. It kills your pitching staff. All the decisions, this disruption in your organization, the back and forth. We won't completely get over that doubleheader probably until the off day on the 26th. You're just constantly scrambling, trying to get back to where people are properly rested. And we're not, you know, Billy Epler in our front office do a great job of keeping the stock with, you know, making the right moves. MLB lets you add a 27th. But also, I got to tell you guys, I've never been a place where there was more concern about fans and the safety coming to the ballpark. I mean, I sat in these rooms and heard him said, you know, the other day, the 50-mile-an-hour winds,
right,
the strength of the storms, fans trying to get into the ballpark. And it is part of the decision. And you try to do it earlier if you can. And nowadays, predicting weather is pretty good, you know, for the most part. But every, you know, someone said, hey, 9 o'clock, we got a three-hour window. I'm in. Because you pay the piper down the road for
doubleheaders. Right. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, well, they did make that decision was made not based on the weather after 8 o'clock. They were looking out for their fans' safety getting to the ballpark, and there was nothing
That was part of it. But I got to tell you, when I talked to two or three people that got stuck here at the stadium, I don't know what it was doing where you were, but here at the stadium, it was the right prediction about weather.
I happened to see. I went to Citi Field that night to pick up my car, they made the right decision. That's for sure.
Well, Gene Michael, Gene Michael years ago, when he would finally have to make this $1 million decision, as he was reminded that it was a rainout, he would turn his phone off, walk out the door, see you tomorrow, boys. Don't call me. He didn't want to hear about sun breaking out of the stadium.
No, I get that. We're talking to Buck Showalter. It's amazing how you haven't won more than three in a row, but you haven't lost back-to-back games, knocking on wood, in over a month. What do you think the identity of this team is? Do you think it's this kind of consistency, the ability to bounce back? Is it something else? But we're 36, 37 games into this season. Can you put your finger on the identity of this baseball team yet?
No, nobody's that good. We've played 38, 39 games. I mean, it's and that's why we play the games. We live in a world where everybody wants to know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, that Twilight Zone show where they got the newspaper a day in advance. It doesn't work that way. Can you imagine how boring it'd be? This doesn't mean that that's going to happen. It's human beings.
Well, if you told me you're going to win the division, I'd be very excited. Like, I would enjoy the next 3 months knowing
well,
that.
I have told the guys we got one thing in our advance room that just says, here's the four teams we got to be better at. I mean, let's cut to the chase. We have four teams we have to be better at.
Right.
You know, what else matters really when you get down to it? So, you know, figure it out. So, you know, I just want us to seek our level and be as good as we're capable of being. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun finding out. People are going to make runs at it. We're going to make runs at them. And there's going to be some ebb and flow to the season. But, you know, the end game's a lot of fun if we can get there.
Talking to Buck, final thing for me, Buck. You know, you're 24-14. You're in first place. But as you say, you know, every team's imperfect. There's things you want to work on. Not that it keeps you up at night, but, you know, what area of the Mets, you know, almost at the quarter pole of the season, is the area that you hope to improve upon the most?
I think, you know, I know it's going to sound like a little bit of a cop-out, but, you know, the health of our players. You know, we get Sterling back from the bereavement probably tomorrow afternoon. McGill will be back shortly. Trevor May will rejoin us. McCann's going to rejoin us. DeGrom, hopefully, you know, we'll start getting some of these guys back. But usually what happens is somebody else, there's another challenge around every corner. I love when people say, what'd you do on your off day when you got rained out? I mean, we were here for 4 hours after the decision was made, trying to shape things and make sure we're putting our best foot forward. But the help and just continue, you know, it's tough. Effort should never go in a slump. And the continued effort, you know, let's give ourselves a chance to be good. Let's put pressure on everybody. So our guys have been great with the effort part, and I'm proud of them.
Take me into your mind for a second. How do you decide where in the batting order Jeff McNeil is going to hit on a given night? Because we have seen
Isn't
this guy. It's no, I think it's great. Guy hits everywhere. When you make that decision.
And he's got no ego. He like every once in a while, he's sticking down the eight hole against a club that doesn't really know him, and he ambushes him down there.
Right.
Next thing, you can protect Pete when Eduardo's figuring it out a little bit. I mean, and he's got no ego about it. He just, you know, he's chasing hits, man. He's playing. People missing. I think he's ranked one of the best second basemen in baseball.
He's been great defensively, no doubt.
And he goes, you need me to play left field. He's pretty good out there. So you can make a case for, I mean, the value that he has presented. And I love the way he competes every at bat.
But what do you, is it the opponent? Is it a gut feeling? Is it some kind of stat we're not thinking about? Like, how do you decide for you when you make that lineup? Okay, today Jeff's hitting third. Okay, today Jeff's hitting eighth. I think today he's hitting fifth. Like, how do you make that decision?
Well, there's so much. You know, we talked earlier in the spring, if we can take our ego out of the batting order and what have you. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot. You know, we got a type of club that, okay, who should you be hitting in front of? Well, maybe, no, not that guy. What about this guy? And, you know, so I think they realize and they have confidence that the big thing to answer your question is what type of challenge it presents to their bullpen.
Right.
What, you know, to put certain orders together. And like tonight, I know that they have one left-hander available. I know that their starting pitcher, you know, like you face a guy like Mikolas, you're not going to do anything until you get him out of the game. I knew they had left-handers, but the eight left-hand hitters allowed us to grind him a little bit. Knowing that you're susceptible to a bullpen, but it's like if you're facing, you know, a frontline pitcher like Randy Johnson, the heck with setting up the bullpen, you better figure out a way to get him out of there.
Right.
So a lot depends on the starting pitcher and the construction of their bullpen, and Jeff allows me to move him around where they can't bring in one pitcher to face multiple hitters.
I guess I do have one more question. So as you probably know by now, Evan Roberts is like the biggest Met fan in the world, season tickets for 25 years. He'll go to 50 games this year, but I just want to get your take on the record on this. This past Friday, he went to your game, and he brought two iPads with him. And on one iPad was the New York Ranger game. On the other iPad was the New York Yankee game. But he's in Citi Field ostensibly to watch the Mets play. And your thoughts as the manager of the Mets that one of your biggest fans was distracted by his own decision watching playoff hockey.
I can buy being distracted by the hockey playoffs. Our guys, hey, I'd be watching some of that too. I can't really comment publicly on being distracted by the other things.
Okay.
I'll leave that alone. I don't know what kind of thing he really is.
Oh, I'm a professional. Who's going on the air the next day? That's all.
You want to be knowledgeable of the subject matter,
thank you.
As painful as it was to watch.
There you go. Well, Buck, we always appreciate you coming on. Good luck tonight, and thank you for a few moments of your time today.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. God bless.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.